Guys, I'm totally jazzed. Dan came, talked to me a couple weeks ago about getting a message ready. And I had one already in mind because I'd been going through some things in my life. And then all of a sudden, like last week, he's like, hey, dude, you're on next week. So here I am. Sweet. So anyways, let me start out by telling you guys a little story about the situation that's been going on in my life. First, I'd like to explain to you guys my personality so it makes a little bit more sense. I am, if any of you guys have ever had a Myers-Briggs personality test, and I know probably most of you guys haven't even heard of it, but when I was in college, we had to take this personality test. It's just 16 different personality traits. It explains to you more like, you know, how you act and what kind of people you're compatible with or whatever like that. It's not one of those dating things. It's just like this personality test I took in one of my like psych classes or something like that. And anyways, if you guys are familiar with the Myers-Briggs, I am an INFP, which means that I am introverted. I am like super sensory, like I feel everything, I'm like totally emotionally driven, and I'm like very black and white. So that's my personality. I am totally like, if you know, some of my close friends can say, I could stay at my house all the time. As a matter of fact, my close friends probably could all say that I don't ever go to their houses or to their places because when they invite me, I just say, no, I'm going to pass. But if you guys want to come over to my house, that's okay, because I can stay in the comfort of my home. So I'm very introverted. You know, you'd say, wow, how's that? You know, you're up here tonight. Well, trust me, it's by the grace of God I'm up here. But anyways, I have a tendency to really just want to stay at home, do my own thing, live in like one place, just have one home like that fits me perfectly. My car's paid off. Don't care. Have another car. Blah, yada, yada, yada. I'm not trying to like, woo, get all I can, get paid, right? Okay, so my wife, on the other hand, she's like totally opposite. She can't stay in one place for too long. So we get married. I own this house. I bought it off my parents. So I own a house. And instantly, right as we get married, she's like, I want to move. Let's move. We've been married for 2.5 years, okay? We've been looking for a home for 2. So 6 months into living in the home that I own, I love this house. My wife's like, we gotta get out. We gotta move. I'm like, dude, there's 2 of us, girl. What do we need a bigger house for? There's 2 people living here. We got a dog. You know, the dog has 2 other rooms if it wants. So anyways, we've been looking for a house from 2 years ago till now. And we've, you know, thank God, he's really protected us because we put some offers in 2 years ago. Had we bought the house, we'd have been in a really bad situation given the current market. But, you know, we always said one thing. We said that whatever it is that we get into, we're going to put it into God's hands and that we're going to, you know, just trust God. So, I mean, we've been looking for 2 years for a house, put in multiple offers on a bunch of different houses. Nothing ever came through. One house came back and said, hey, you want it? And we were like, no, never mind. We don't want it. So anyways, we stepped out in faith. We saw this house and we were like, let's put an offer on it. Let's just offer what we absolutely can. It's a kind of a lowball offer, you know, but the bank owns it. Let's check this out. So, you know, we put an offer in on the house. And we were so used to the banks just saying no that we're like, yeah, put an offer in on it, sign it, da 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 da. Okay, whatever. Offer's in. You know, expect in 2 or 3 days here like a counter offer or just no, you know, it's sold to somebody else. So we left it at that. You know, every time we put an offer on a house and we got rejected, we went and bought something big. Like first time we got rejected, we bought my wife a car, then the second time we bought new carpet for our house. So we're like thinking like, okay, what are we gonna buy? Let's get new windows for this house, right? So, like, we're all thinking about, like, all of a sudden, Stacy comes jumping in the room, my wife in the back. She's like, oh, my God, we got it. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm like, what? She's like, we got the house. They said yes, we're going to buy this house. And I'm like, and she could attest to this. I pulled the covers over my head, and I was like, tell them never mind. I don't want it. Because we were so used to where we were living, and I'm so used to, like, my little life, my little cubbyhole. I work in the video department. I hide in the control room. I'm so used to that. My natural personality says, hey, this is great. You got it. No more. Don't step out. You don't need to do anything like that. So tonight, my message tonight is called Step Up, Do It. Right? Okay. Step up and do it. You guys remember Starsky and Hutch? Do it. Do it. Okay? So anyways, we go through buying this house, and like my wife talks me into saying yes. So we're going through the process, and I'm like, I'm freaking out, right? I am freaking out because this means that the house that I so love, we're going to have to either sell it or rent it. Well, selling it's not really a good option at this point in time, so we're going to have to rent it. Well, my parents have rental houses. My brothers and sisters have rental houses. Everybody I know has rental houses, and everybody I know says, oh, my God, it's terrible, right? So it's like, okay, don't rent. So, like, I am freaking out, right? So I'm like, this is such a step of faith. So I start talking to some of my friends, start talking to some of my family members, and I'm like, this is just like, Not going to happen. And so anyways, you know, some of my friends and some of my family members started encouraging me and saying, you know what, if you don't ever give God the opportunity show himself, to stamp out in faith. How are you ever going to grow, and how are you ever going to see? And I thought about that. God was really working on my heart with this lesson, this life lesson of, purchasing a home. And so I thought about it. And in Christianity, and in our lives in general, if we never step out, if we never step up to the plate and just do it, where are we going to get? Where are we going to go? So tonight we're going to talk about stepping up and doing it. And what I want to do is I want to look at the life of a guy in the Old Testament who is faced with a pretty intense situation. And how did this guy step up to the plate and accomplish the job? Because no matter what it is in our lives, whether it be, talking to that friend that we know about Jesus, whether it be, like in my case, buying a house, whether it be picking up an instrument and learning how to play it, whatever it is we do, if we don't take action, if we don't step up and do it, it's not going to, for example, I can play the guitar. I can't play the guitar. I want to play the guitar. I'm learning to play the guitar. But if I just stared at the guitar across the room, visualized what it's like in Rock Band, and then applied that in my mind, but never physically stepped up, grabbed a guitar, held it, picked it, you moved my fingers, how many of you guys know that even though I knew how to play the guitar, my hands weren't tuned. My body wasn't ready to move my fingers in all these ways, and it would be terrible. It would not be a sweet, sweet sound. Same thing in life. No matter what it is, if we want to buy a house, if you want to buy a car, if you want to ask that girl, to go out with you, or if you want to tell that friend, about Jesus, but you just sit there and visualize it, think about it, but don't do anything about it, what's going to happen, guys? Is that person going to hear about Jesus from you? No. Is that girl going to ever say yes to you? No. Is that house ever going to get purchased by you? Is that car ever going to get bought? Is that job ever going to get taken? This applies to everything we do in life. If we don't step up and do it, we're not going to get anywhere. Are you guys with me tonight? So let's take a look at a specific example in the Bible. If you guys will turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. It's in the Old Testament. If you don't know where it's at, there's a little guide in the front of your Bible. It's between Esther and Ezra. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I knew that. Keep your thumb there. We're just going to shift back and forth. We're going to look at the whole book. So I got 20 minutes to go through 13 chapters. Not really. We're just going to look at some different things that what Nehemiah did to step up and do it. Okay, you guys with me tonight? You want to hear what we're going to go at? What? Okay, come on, you guys got to be with me. Let me give you a little background about Nehemiah before we get into this and dig in. Nehemiah was this dude. He was a Hebrew. Now, at this time, Israel was in captivity. The king of Babylon, guy's name was Zaxaterxes or something like that. I can't pronounce. I'm not even going to try. Anyways, homeboy owns Israel, okay? Now, they besieged Jerusalem, the city, and they tore it up. Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king. So he's the dude that drinks the wine, makes sure that, if the wine's poisoned, he dies, not the king, okay? Real high up, okay? Nehemiah talks to some of his homeboys, and he's like, hey, what's up, dude? How's it going down in Judah? And they're like, dude, the walls are busted, and everybody is distraught and broken, all right? And so he just found out that, his family, his relatives, his tribesmen, whatever you want to call them, are all down in the dumps, and that his city is, destroyed, right? So that's, the equivalent of, me being in London, and I asked one of my friends, dude, how's Redlands doing? And they're like, dude, State Street's gone. It's just destroyed, right? All Marketplace? No. No more Marketplace. Dude, Kuka's? Gone, bro. Gone. Redlands High? Gone. That one probably wouldn't be a bad thing, but... So anyways, Nehemiah's all bummed out, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at what Nehemiah did, because Nehemiah's faced with a choice. He can think about what should be done, what he could do, or he could step up and do it. So let's read on to see what Nehemiah did, and let's see how we can apply that in our lives tonight about stepping up and doing it. You guys with me tonight? Numero uno, about stepping up and doing it. Give it to God. Now, if you guys are with Nehemiah, turn with me, stay in the first chapter for right now. We're going to look at the verse 10 and 11. 10 and 11 on the overhead, but I'm going to read verse 4 through 11. I didn't want to kill the interns by giving them chapters of verse, so I just decided I'd pick the best ones, and then I'll read the rest of them. Starting at verse 4. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting, praying before God of heaven, and I said, I pray, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you,
and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of children of Israel, which have sinned against you. Both of my father's house and mine, I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments and the statutes, nor the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I prayed the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying that if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Remember that, because that's important. We're going to come back to that. God says, if you are unfaithful to my commandments, I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to poof, you're gone, right? So God tells the Hebrews, this is going to be important later on. God tells the Hebrews that if you're not faithful, if you don't obey my commandments, you're gone. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them through some of you who are cast out farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Verse 10 and 11, this is what's up on the overhead. Now these are your servants, your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day. I pray, and I grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer.
Whoa, okay, what? Right? What just happened? That's a lot to digest. Point number one, how did Nehemiah step up and do it? He gave it to God. Before we can step up and do anything, we have to give it to God. You have to give it to God. What Nehemiah did is like, he said, oh my gosh, I'm so distraught with the news of Jerusalem being torn down and the people, you know, being in distress. But instead of being like, oh my God, I gotta go do something right now. He said, you know what? I'm gonna grieve and I'm bummed out, but I'm gonna give it to God. And what he said is, listen, God, your word said that if we're unfaithful, we're gonna scatter, and that's why we're at where we're at. But if we're faithful and we come back to you, that you're gonna come back to us. So what Nehemiah is, he's pleading with God to create a situation that where we can again come together and dwell. So he's asking God to hear his plea, to come back and bring them back as a people, to bring them back as the promised one, as the promised nation. So, you know, I like to think, how would we act? If we were Nehemiah, would Nehemiah still be written if I was it? I'll tell you what, I am the king of overreacting. I'm the king of overreacting. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you. My sister knows the slightest thing, and I boom, that's part of my personality over there. I'm like total feeling and emotion. You say the wrong thing, I'm just, dude, I don't talk to you for like 6 months, okay? I'm working on it, yeah. I'm the king. So how would I react if I was Nehemiah? I would probably be like, dude, wall's gone, let's go now, let's go, 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 go. Oftentimes in Christianity, we act this way. Are you guys with me? Sometimes we hear that bad news and we react instantly. Boom, right away. No thought, right? We just go for it. You know, I bought my car on impulse. It's a stick shift. And everybody says it's a girl's car. If I would have prayed about it, maybe I would have been smart enough to buy an automatic and a car that guys actually drive, right? Sometimes we just do things. How would we act as Christians if we were facing this situation? How do we act when we're faced with things like this, with bad news? You know, the economy's down and I got some money in stocks, or, you know, the market value of my house is dropping. Sell, sell, sell. You know, or, you know, I'm about to lose my job. Quit. You know, instead of that, what if we were just to give it to God? Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. The important thing is giving it to God, because what it does is, like Pastor Sue, if you guys were here on Wednesday night, Pastor Sue talked about casting our cares. When we cast our cares, the Bible says, cast your care on he who cares. All of a sudden, then what you do is you take your problems, your situation, the light of your perspective, and you give it to one who sees everything from a greater perspective. You guys, I don't know if you guys were here when I preached about God's perspective, but our perspective versus God's perspective is totally different. So when we cast our cares, when we say, this is something that I dream, God, I care to learn the guitar. I care to get a better job. I care about this. Oftentimes I think that we think about casting our cares as casting the bad things, but I think God's talking about casting everything on him. God's saying, rely on me. Give it to me and let me work on it. So when we say, I gotta cast my cares to you, all of a sudden God says, now I got it, and I can look down on my perspective, and I can begin to work my work in that life, and I can begin to turn the situation around the way I want it versus the way you're gonna do it. Oftentimes in our life, I think we live in the mode of ready, fire, aim. You guys with me on that one? Instead of ready, aim, fire, a lot of times as humans and as Christians and whatever it is we do, we act and then we look at it in retrospect. You guys with me tonight? first thing Nehemiah did is he prayed. He got down on his knees. He didn't panic. He didn't freak out. He didn't get on his pony and ride down to Jerusalem and see what it looked like. He said, God, I give it to you. I'm going to rely on your promise. I'm going to stand on your promise. And I believe that you're going to come and you're going to make a situation that where we can come back and we can come as a people. Are you guys with me tonight? Number one thing we got to do to step up, whatever it is we just decide to do, is to give it to God. Number two, let's look at what Nehemiah did. If you jump to the second chapter, number two is step out in faith. This is a pretty simple one. I'm not going to rely too much about this one. We've been preaching a lot about faith and shift, so we know about that. But if you look at Nehemiah, the second chapter, verses 4 through 5 are what's on the overhead. I'm going to read 2 through 5. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. First of all, this is where the step of faith comes out. The king is like, dude, you are in the king's room, whatever it's called. Okay, I'm the man, you're standing next to me. What do you got to frown about? Now, Nehemiah at this point is straight out scared, right? I mean, he's shaking in his boots because if he says the wrong thing, boom, off with his head, right? Another cupbearer, I don't care, I'm the king, I don't care about you. You're going to die anyways if my wine's poisoned. So Nehemiah says, dude, I'm scared. What am I going to say? Because if I say the wrong thing to the king, I'm dead. You know, and I like to think, well, again, what would we do in this situation? You know, he stepped out in faith because he said something to the king. You know, I'm introverted and I avoid controversy. Confrontation. Thank you, Ronell. I avoid it, man. So the king's like, dude, why are you sad? I'd be like, oh, king, oh, I stubbed my toe. I'm sorry. No, it's not Israel. No, that's cool. Whatever. You're great and mighty king. No, he was like, I was scared. Verse 3. And then I said to the king, may the king live forever. Yeah, good way to respond, okay? May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city of my fathers in their tombs lies in waste and the gates burn with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? Okay. The king's like, all right, dude, what do you want? All right. Ready, aim, fire, right? So we go back to point number one. So I prayed to God of heaven. Then verse 5 comes and says, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, your servant has found favor in your sight. I ask that you send me to Judah, the city of my father's tombs, and I may rebuild it. Dude, the guy is a cupbearer, right? I'm sure he's got pretty cool favor at the king because the king's like, hey, dude, what's wrong with you today, you know? All of a sudden he says, I pray to God, and God inspires Nehemiah to say, listen, send me your lowly cupbearer to go build the city which you just conquered and put the walls back up. I mean, that's kind of a bold thing. I mean, think about it. Back in the days when cities had walls, that was their line of defense. So Nehemiah is saying, listen, you just conquered the city. The walls are down, showing that you're the man. Send me to go build the walls back up so that we got defense again. That's kind of a bold statement. But Nehemiah stepped out in faith. Why? Because number one, he gave it to God. Number two, he knew that God was there. A lot of us get hung up when it comes to the faith. We step right up to that line, like me, with buying the house. I'm right there. I put the offer in. That wasn't the step of faith because I can still say no. There's a billion reasons why I can reject the offer if it's accepted. It's that next step that says, okay, I'm going to buy the house. A lot of us get up to that line of faith and we say, all right, just like Indiana Jones, you know, that classic. We get right there and we say, never mind. I'm cool. We can't get hung up on that step of faith because we have to rely that if we give it to God, God's got our best interest in hand. God's got our cares, right? God's got our worries. God's got our dreams. He's got everything in his hands. And if we put it in God's hands and we step out in faith, we have to rely that God's going to be there. Just like Nehemiah. If Nehemiah would have said, hey, king, let me go build the city that you conquered. Let me go build it back up. And he didn't step out in faith in it. And, you know, that wasn't God's plan. You know, the king's going to be like, dude, hey, kill that guy. Go shoot him in the back, all right? Leave him in the alleyway. But no, he stepped out in faith and God backed him. That's the same thing with us. You know, the Bible says that all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we step out in faith, we know that God's got our back. Are you guys with me tonight? I don't want to spend a lot of time on faith because I know that we've already heard about it. So let's go to number three tonight. Step up and do it. This one is the tough one. Expect opposition. We're going to jump forward to Nehemiah. It's in the fourth chapter. If you guys will just turn a couple pages, Nehemiah in the fourth chapter. Number three of stepping up and do it is expect opposition. Guys, anytime we step out of our comfort zone, whether it be a step of faith, whether it be, you know, just trying something new, anytime there's going to be opposition. Why is that? That's because our minds are going to come and say, this is uncomfortable, I don't like this, go back to what you're doing, I liked what I was doing, go back to doing this. Whether the opposition comes in so many forms. It could be, you know, a physical opposition, you know, infirmity, sickness. It could be, you know, the powers of Satan come against you and making people persecute you. It could be your own doubts. No matter what it is, no matter what you do, when you step out in faith, when you give it to God, when you step out in faith, you're going to get opposition. It's a promise that Jesus gives you, that gives us. We're going to go to that in a second. But if you look at Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, verse 7 and 8. Now it happened that when, now let me give you a little background before I read this. Nehemiah has gone, the king approves his trip. Nehemiah goes and he's starting to work on rebuilding the wall. Okay, so people starting to get word, and like these guys who are like, what's up? Why is Jerusalem building their walls up? Aren't they part of Xerxes kingdom? Whatever. So they're like, what's up? So now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed. They became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nehemiah, while he's building the wall, comes through all sorts of oppositions. These guys keep coming, trying to bring up, you know, they ridicule him, they make fun of him, they say, what's wrong with you, little Jew? You're trying to build Jerusalem back up, you know, and they try to attack him, they try to bring his plans down. Expect opposition, guys. Every time we do something, like I said earlier, there's going to be opposition. And I was just saying earlier that it's promised to us as Christians that if we follow Christ, if we step out in faith, that we will face opposition. Unfortunately, guys, that is a promise. That is a calling for Christ. Jesus says in the Bible, take up your cross and follow me. He doesn't say, put on your best kicks and follow me. He doesn't say, make sure you eat up good because we're not stopping at In-N-Out until tomorrow, follow me. He says, take up your cross and follow me. It's a guarantee, guys, that when we follow Christ and we travel down the road less traveled, that opposition and persecution is going to come our way. But there's good news. A lot of us, if we don't get hung up on the step of faith, a lot of us get hung up on this, because as soon as opposition comes, as soon as the hard times come, we back down because we say, you know what? I don't want it. I avoid confrontation. I was more comfortable sitting in this place anyways. I was more comfortable with my job at Burger King than, you know, wherever anyways, whatever. A lot of us back down when it comes to opposition, but there's good news. The Bible says that he who is in me is greater than he in the world. 1 John 4:4. My Bible also says in Isaiah 54 that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. There's one thing that we need to take into consideration, that when we give our dreams to God, when we cast our cares to God, when we step out in faith, we're not doing it alone. We've got the mighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords back in our side. And guess what, guys? There's another promise in the Bible. We win. With God, we win. So yeah, we're going to face opposition. We're going to face hard times. We're going to come against some things that we may not like. Our thoughts are going to attack us on, you know, stepping out in faith and doing that thing that we wanted to do, or reaching out and trying to get a new job, or whatever it may be. There's going to be thoughts. There's going to be things, people telling you, you can't do that. You're not qualified for that job. You're not musically talented. You can't pick up and learn the keyboard. You can't do this. You can't do that. But let me tell you something, guys. God's got your back. And if you give it to God and you cast your cares on God, then all of a sudden God's going to say, hey, listen, I got your back. And when opposition comes and when those thoughts come, we're going to cast them down. We're going to put them down. We're going to put Satan in his place. Yeah, he's going to come, but that's a part. Because what happens when opposition comes? We get stronger. You know, like they say, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger, right? Paul talks about being buffeted. And being buffeted from Satan continually shows him that in his weakness, God makes him stronger. You guys with me tonight? This is some good stuff, eh? And further down in Nehemiah 4th chapter, it's not up in the overheads, I just want to read it to you. Just like I was saying about when opposition comes, when we put our faith in God, we step out in faith, God comes through. In verse 15 it says, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, and that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Bottom line is Nehemiah was in tune with God. God had his back. And so these guys were conspiring to attack Nehemiah and foil his plans and cause confusion. And God said, check it out, dude. There's some guys coming. They're going to attack you. Build it up. Set some guys up for watchmen. All of a sudden, these guys are like, we can't do anything. And the enemy's plan was foiled. Same thing in our lives, guys. When we step out, when we give it to God, God's going to catch our back. We're going to face some opposition. Yeah, we may be uncomfortable, but guess what? In the end, we win. You guys with me tonight? That's some good news. In the end, we win. Number 4, you guys with me tonight? Last one for the night. I'm going quick. I was trying to get done by 9. This one, you don't necessarily have to turn there because it's a whole chapter. So we're just going to read it. It's 31 verses. Ready? Nah, just kidding. Nehemiah in the 13th chapter, number 4, don't go back to the old ways. Don't go back. We've given it to God. We've stepped out in faith. We fought the opposition. Now things are starting to change. A lot of the times things change, things get better, but we don't go back. In Nehemiah, the 13th chapter, I refer to the whole chapter. If you guys have some time extra outside of service, read it. Dude, the guy has some passion. At this point, Nehemiah has already rebuilt the wall. Dude did it in 52 days. Built the wall, went back. He's now like the governor of Jerusalem. Like the king is like, dude, mad respect. You did it in 50 days. I'm going to make you ruler. So Nehemiah comes and he sets all the order. He says, all right, you're going to live here. You're going to live here. We're going to get the bloodlines of the Hebrews back in here because God called us as a chosen nation. He didn't call them over there. He didn't call them over there. So we're going to get together. We're going to join up. We're going to get the priests back in line. We're going to get the tithe back going. We're going to get the Sabbath honoring. He sets up all these rules and he goes back to Babylon to King Xerxes, all right? Then he comes back to Jerusalem and he finds out nobody's doing nothing. Everybody went back to the old way. Now, this is where I said in the first point it was really important because God said that if you don't obey my rules, if you don't obey my laws, I will scatter you, right? Israel, Jerusalem, was in this situation. They were conquered by Babylon, for one, because they weren't honoring what God had. So God said, I'm going to take that umbrella of protection over my children, and I'm going to scatter you. I'm going to let Babylon, I'm going to let the Syrians, I'm going to let all these different people come in and conquer your nation. So Nehemiah's got this passion because he knows, because the first thing he did is repented for the sins of his fathers and the sins of his people for not obeying God's thing. So Nehemiah's like fired up, right? He's like, dude, we just rebuilt the walls, we just reestablished the rule, and now all of a sudden we forgot it and we're going back. And now what does that mean? We are in dangerous ground is what he's saying. He comes back and he's like, we are walking on a thin line and God is about to say, you know what? All right, poof, again. Then we got to come and build a wall again and I know your back is still sore. Okay? So Nehemiah comes and dude, the guy runs amok. Like it talks about it in the 13th chapter. He finds people who are marrying, like the Hebrews who are marrying outside of the Hebrews, like the Hebrew enemies. And he's like, I pulled on their hair and I told them that you will never give your daughters to these guys and these daughters. And he's like, he grabs the priest and he's like, bro, you have not been given the tithe. You better give the tithe. One of the high priests takes the room where they were like storing up the tithes to give to the Levites, you know, the 10%. The high priest, check this out. He takes the room where all the tithes are at, clears it out and lets his friend move in. Right? Okay, like, hello, bad. So Nehemiah comes in and he's like running amok. He's like, no, get out. Fills the room back up with all the stuff. He restores order. He says, I'm not going to go back to the way we did it. We stepped out. We gave it to God. I gave it to God. I came out. I stepped out in faith. You know, we had a lot of opposition. Everybody didn't think we could do it, but we did it in record time. And now all of a sudden you guys want to go back. We're going to be back right where we are. If it's not the Babylonians, it's going to be the Syrians. If it's not the Syrians, it's going to be the Assyrians. I think that's the people. It's going to be the Egyptians. It's going to be somebody. Nehemiah says, I'm not going to go back. As an example, think about it like this. After World War II, you guys are real familiar with World War II. The Nazis killed like 6 million Jews, right? So we team up with the British and a little bit of the Russians. We're all fighting the Germans and the Italians, and they're called the Axis, okay? We fight them. We win. Bam. June 1944, right? We're done. 45. We're done. Imagine. If, okay, USA wins World War II, Nazis are defeated, and we just say, okay, bye, we're going back to America. We're done. We're going to go back to our old lifestyle. And we didn't stay and help rebuild Europe and help change things. You know what happened? Is that old mindset would come back up. People are destroyed. Their lives are destroyed. Things aren't going to happen. Things aren't going to change. It's just like, you know, if United States, whether you agree or not with Iraq, now we're there. And it's all of a sudden, it's like, okay, sorry guys, we're done. We're done. You know, we're going to go back to our old, this isn't working, we're going to go. What's going to happen? Somebody else is going to take that place. If we go back to the old, then things are going to go back to the way they were. If Nehemiah says, all right, guys, if I'm going to let you go back to the things that you were doing and let this slide, then all of a sudden we're going to be in the same situation we were with another person. I'll be dead probably by this time, but you're going to be in the same thing. It's the same thing with our walk with God, guys, or whatever it is we do. If we say, you know what, I've stepped out. I encountered that opposition, but I'm gonna retreat. It's just too much battle, and I'm gonna go back to the way I was. You know what you just did? You just devoided everything that you did, and now all of a sudden you got battle scars. You're tired because you've been stepping out in faith. You know, you've had all this opposition, and now your walk with God's gonna be like, dude, this is so hard. Because we went back to the things of old. Nehemiah says, no, I'm gonna take a stand, and I'm gonna move forward. Guys, in our Christian walks, and the things that we decide to do, whether it be stepping up to find a job, if we back off, and we go back to the way we were not going to accomplish anything. If you got that friend
who's talking to Jesus, and you talk to him, you know, you step out, you talk to him about Jesus, but then you back off. You go back to the old way, no, I forget it. Hey, weren't you talking to me about, what was that you were talking about Jesus?
I don't know.
What's going to happen to that friend? You think he's going to get saved from you? No. You know, you go to a job, you go to an interview. Hey, we want to call for a second interview. Would you like to come? I don't know. No, I'm okay. I'm comfortable where I'm at. No, you're not going to get the job, guys. We have to keep moving forward. And then all of a sudden, things begin to change. When we step out, we leave something behind. We leave the comfort and the complacency of our lives in the dust. But if we return to it, everything we worked for is gone. Everything we worked for is back to the way it was. Nehemiah would not let these guys go back to the way it was. And the same thing with us. Tonight, in conclusion, I believe that if you apply these principles, guys, if you give it to God, he's gonna cast his care. His perspective's gonna be on that situation. If you step out in faith, God's gonna back you. I wanna say something about giving it to God, and this is so important. A lot of the times we step out in faith before we give it to God. I didn't read this on my notes until right now, and I wanna go back to it. How many times have we heard somebody say in the name of God they did something that was not in the name of God? You guys have probably all been in that situation where you've seen something happen in the name of God told me to do this. One time when I was in high school, some girl told me that God told her that she was going to be my husband. No, I was going to be her husband. How many times have we heard somebody say in the name of God, they're doing something? What happened? They just shot before they aimed. We have to give it to God. Point number one, give it to God. And when we give it to God, now God can say, hey, this is what I got for you. Then, when we've given it to God, we step out in faith. Point number two, like Nehemiah did. Then, when we're out in faith, we can understand that opposition is going to come our way. But we know that we got the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords on our back. And regardless of the opposition, we win. Yeah. Right? You guys with me tonight? And lastly, we understand that if we go back, we just devoid ourselves of everything that we just did. We go back and we tread on the old water. We're no better than we started off, except for now we're battle scarred and nothing's better. You guys, did you guys get something out of that tonight? Hallelujah.